What is up, everybody? Welcome back. This is Brett Schottkavis. We're here talking about all things assisted living investing. So I'm going to be breaking down today the second myth that I commonly hear in this industry. So if you are new to assisted living investing, or if you're considering it, this might be something you hear. So I think it's really important that I address this subject and let you know right on the front side of your journey that this is a myth, and this is something that I don't think is real. So let's dive into it here. One of the common things that I hear is that when you're going to start an RAL, you're going to start a 6-bed, an 8-bed, you're going to take a house and convert it, that you can do this kind of deal, that you can have this type of investment, and it'll be pretty passive. Meaning you can buy this house, you can get the license, you can set everything up, furnish it, and then you're going to hire somebody to run this for you. And you're going to be able to check in once a week or once a month, and you're going to make your 10 grand a month, and it's going to be a pretty passive business, right? So passive that you may be able to do this in another state or in another city that's farther away from you, that you could easily scale these and start buying houses all over your county and start hiring a manager, maybe a live-in manager who's going to be there around the clock and take care of your residents. So I just want to be the one who say right up front, like, this is not true, that I've been through this, through the weeds, through the hard stuff, through the good stuff. And man, this is not a realistic option. So for me, when I first got into this journey several years ago, I had a 6-bed and a 3-bed that were next door to each other. And I had a live-in manager managing both of these. And it was just such a nightmare. It was not something that is scalable. It was not something that you can really do. So let me break this down. Because especially when you're talking about assisted living, you're talking about end-of-life care, it is realistically, it's an active business. It's not a passive investment. It's not a VRBO where you can, you know, handle everything on an app. Right, there are people there that are living there that they have dementia, they're in a wheelchair, they're at the end of life, and you honestly need somebody there. You need a manager there or an owner operator there to be able to take care of these people. So when you're talking about a smaller assisted living, if you're talking about a 6-bed or an 8-bed RAL, and you're bringing in, you know, monthly income of $30,000 a month, $40,000 a month. You know, if you're new to this, that might sound like, hey, that's a ton of money. This is awesome. There's a huge spread here. No, actually, it's not. When you talk about 24-hour care and you talk about food and you talk about utilities and you talk about insurance, your $30,000, I mean, you'd be lucky to make any money. You're lucky to break even in my experience. So I think that a lot of these 6-beds, I mean, you might make a few grand, maybe on a best month when you're fully occupied, you maybe can hit 8 or 10 grand, but that is you as the owner operator. That is you every single day. And that is not budgeting for a manager. So realistically, what does a manager cost, right? Managers around me, they're 60,000 on kind of the entry level. And they go up to 90 or 100,000 if you're going to manage a bigger facility or multiple homes and you have a lot of experience, or you're maybe a memory care director, it can be up to 6 figures. So if you're going to be, you know, lower than that, you know, in that like $25 to $30 an hour average, there's no way you can afford somebody when you have 6 beds or 8 beds to be able to do that for you. So the numbers are just not there to have this be a hands-off kind of passive investment. So the other thing that really comes into play with this type of industry is the emergencies, the drama, the falls, the breaking a hip, the dementia outburst or behaviors, right? There is something gonna be happening every single day that needs some type of management. If you have a caregiver there that's there, you know, 24 hours a day, a lot of times they are not equipped or prepared to handle the situations, the drama, the falls, the split open head, or whatever the case may be. When you have a resident who has, you know, behaviors and they're hitting or they're scratching or they refuse to take their medications or whatever the case may be, it's not an easy, like, you can get this done and like be very passive kind of business, right? There is Yeah, I mean, you're solving a problem. You're solving an end-of-life problem. And there's usually a huge reward with this problem by solving it, but I just don't see how the numbers work on some of these six beds. And I really don't see how you can afford a manager if you have a smaller RAL. So it's a 24/7 business. There is something going to be happening every single day. That is weekends, that is nights, that's Christmas, that's 4th of July. And if you are running a smaller home, a smaller RAL, and you have six or eight beds, you can really only afford one caregiver. So what happens when your one caregiver doesn't show up, when they no call, no show, right? You get the call. It might be the middle of the night. You get the call. What happens when your one caregiver, their kids get sick? They are going to leave. There is no young woman here who is not going to leave those residents and go take care of her kids when they are sick, right? They are going to leave, and you are going to get that call, and you are going to have to be the one to go over there. Now, that doesn't sound very passive to me, right? I've been in this long enough to know that the hardest part of this type of business is the staffing. It's not the residents, it's not the license, it's not the food, it's the staffing. It is going to be the hardest part for sure, getting people to show up consistently every single day, because it's 24 hours, right? You have to have a night person. You have to have someone there on Christmas. You have to have someone there on Easter. And when they don't want to go, they're scheduled, but they don't want to show up because they want to spend time with their families, then who has to show up? That has to be the owner operator, right? If you have a six or an eight bed, you cannot have a passive investment in this way. You cannot own this on the other side of the state, because you're going to get a call on Christmas and now you have to be there in an hour because your caregiver says, hey, by the way, my kids are sick. I am leaving. I'll be out here in 30 minutes. You better get your butt over here, right? That is what realistically happens. So I don't want to discourage anybody from this niche or this model. I think assisted living investing is my favorite type of investment. It is fantastic. But let me show you how I do this, how I can solve this problem of being a less active owner operator, right? So my wife and I, we own Platinum Resort Assisted Living in Georgetown, Texas, and it's a 16-bed luxury memory care mansion, right? We have solved this problem of being not the person who gets the call, not the one who has to go in. Honestly, at this point in our business, we've been open for several years. We are at a point where we're working 4 hours a week. We have the 4-hour work week for our assisted livings. So what we are able to do for that is we are able to hire two managers that are there. So there's literally someone there every single day. 7 days a week, there's one manager there. And half the week, there's two managers that are there rotating hours. So if someone calls in sick, the two managers, one of the two of them, will be able to go pick up that shift. Because it's usually not like, oh, here's this huge, 48-hour notice, right? It's like, hey, my shift starts 15 minutes ago, and by the way, I'm not coming. Or they just don't call anymore at all, and like they just no call, no show. That is the most common thing, right? Who is going to take that call? Who is going to show up when you have to literally put down everything you're doing right now and drive over there, right? So now I have two managers that are able to do that. But why can I have two managers when I said that if you have a six bed or an eight bed, you can't even afford one, but I can have two? So my niche, what I love doing is I love doing a 16 bed because of the income. Because now I have enough income, I'm pushing about $100,000 a month plus in gross income, meaning my grandmas and grandpas, they are paying rent totaling up to about $100,000 or more, which allows the income to be able to pay for all the staff that I need. It allows me to have two caregivers around the clock, plus a chef, plus two managers. So if there is one caregiver that is running late, there is already another one there. Every single hour of the day, including nights and weekends, including holidays, I have two caregivers there on the front lines no matter what. In addition to that, as my second level of backup, I have a manager. And then in addition to that, as my third level of backup, I have a second manager. So we are triply or quadruply insulating ourselves from this type of issue, from getting the call on Christmas or getting the call when we're on vacation. I don't want those calls, right? So I want to set up a structure. I want to set up a business model where I can be insulated for those things. Now, it's still an active business. It's not a passive investment, but it is pretty passive for an active investment. I think that the way we have set this up, that if you were going to compare a VRBO to the model of assisted living that we have, that a VRBO is more active than what I am doing. 4 hours a week. Sometimes I don't ever go in. Sometimes just my wife goes into the assisted living. So this can be done. I really love this model where you can have enough income to insulate yourself, pay your staff great, pay your caregivers great, have a chef, and you have somebody there all the time to handle the drama that will come up. So this niche is something that I really, really love. And if you're considering it, I think you for sure should do it. If you were considering starting a smaller assisted living, a small 6-bed or 8-bed, I can tell you from my own personal experience, I don't recommend doing it. I think that it's easier to get started, but then you will hate what you do. You will hate that you feel trapped. You will hate that you're kind of a slave to your business. You're really not an owner. You're really just an employee of the company that you own. And I don't think that's really what was for me. That's not something that I wanted. I wanted something that I could build, that I can be proud of, that I can put my name on, but that's scalable. And then I can have great cash flow, and then I can spend time with my kids. So check this out. 16 beds is what I really like. If you want to do 12, 14, 18, 20, those are all great numbers. But I am a huge proponent that a 6-bed, an 8-bed, a 10-bed, they do not work. And I honestly think that an 8 or a 10, you will need to double your staff, and you actually may make less money than a 6-bed. So check this out, but follow the channel. If you want to continue to learn about assisted living investing, I'm gonna continue to break down all these different things, give you the behind the scenes of how I run and operate and invest in the assisted living niche. So I'll see y'all next time.